Cinema Classics is brought to you by the Gateway Film Center at the South Campus Gateway, 1550 North High Street. Further details online at gatewayfilmcenter.com.
Cinema Classics is produced by John DeSando and Johnny DiLoretto. Listen to the shows online at wcbe.org and like us on Facebook. I am Johnny DiLoretto.
And I'm John DeSando, and this is
Cinema Classics. And speaking of Cinema Classics, this is a two-part show,
yes.
John. We started talking about Entertainment Weekly's Best Of issue, where they did Best Of music. Top 100 of nearly everything.
Right.
But obviously the movies caught our attention, and we went through the list. But we started talking about going to the back of the list.
Where
most people, I think, lose total interest.
Somewhere around
50. They're like, they probably don't even think they've heard of anything after 50. But let's start at the back here. Let's start at 100.
Yeah, and you mentioned last time.
I did. Sweet Smell of Success is one of the greatest films ever made. I would put it further up there, maybe in the top 50 somewhere. But Burt Lancaster, Tony Curtis, with a script by Clifford Odets, there is no other film like it. Every line stings and sings.
It's city setting. It's just perfectly integrated.
It's poetry, man.
Yeah.
Like when you hear them, every line of dialogue is like a little minor work of art in and of itself.
Paul Thomas Anderson's There Will Be Blood is 99.
It was surprising considering how much it's grown in people's estimation, even in the few years that it's been in release. Probably one of the better.
Yeah,
I don't know what I'm saying. All that shit out.
Right. Well, that's 6 years ago, and it's really, it looks better now than it did then. And I think the point has always been, you've got something, Daniel Day-Lewis playing this outsized character, mm-hmm. oil baron. But yet there's something, as most critics have pointed out, there's something very intimate about the movie that I think Anderson brought out and Day-Lewis.
Yeah. So, it's a small character movie,
yes.
Told in an epic fashion.
Excellent. We're looking toward number 88, since we can't cover
them. Well, you jumped a whole bunch.
I jumped a crap ton of them. All right. I mean,
let
I was going to pick a few. Now you're going to go.
Oh, well, listen. I got a... 95.
Another
Rushmore.
Anderson. Oh,
Rushmore.
All right.
Wes
all right,
Anderson.
Yeah. Yes, I know.
That
Wes
is
Anderson.
So great.
It is.
Wes Anderson is one of the most distinctive filmmakers in recent years. He's been taken to task for it, which boggles my mind. Here's a guy with a unique voice, and people are saying, oh, we know it's a Wes Anderson movie. Yeah, you know?
And he loves quirky characters, and so he, I think, is almost responsible for bringing out Bill Murray. As a lover of quirky characters.
He is responsible for ushering in this third act of Bill Murray's career that's been so artistically rewarding.
And now, Christopher Nolan is one of your favorite directors.
Yeah, I mean, any movie geek loves Christopher Nolan.
And so number 88 is Dark Knight.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder where Memento falls on that list,
and
if at all.
Isn't that funny? I'm not sure it is.
Yeah.
And I would have even put Dark Knight a little bit earlier on the list because I think it's that good.
Wow, would you?
Yeah, yeah. And largely because I think there are performances and there are ideas in that essentially comic book story.
Right. I certainly love it. I certainly love that movie. But I think Memento was such an original piece of work that I would like to see it on there somewhere.
Going across the pond, perhaps favorable to both you and me, La Dolce Vita.
Oh, that's a beautiful movie. It's a movie to get lost in. I just stumbled upon that phrase just now, but you can get lost in that movie the way that Mastroianni gets lost in Rome.
He is totally that sophisticate in Rome. And it's a really good transition piece for the Italian cinema because it's been so kind of ensconced in the neorealism that Fellini brings out the fantasy, and I think it's never been the same since.
Right, you're right. It's also, La Dolce Vita is as close to reading a novel as cinema gets.
Great.
I mean, it's very lyrical. And
we have somebody that we really admire named Chris Hamill.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, and as if Chris had sent in his vote, number 76 is Lawrence of Arabia.
I think Chris would probably puke in his mouth a little to know that Lawrence of Arabia was relegated to post 75 numbers.
Right.
Lawrence of Arabia, come on. That is a movie that's in the top 20.
What is it? Is the widescreen?
It's everything.
The cinematography?
Man. It's lightning in a bottle, that movie. Yeah. It's epic storytelling that doesn't get told these days because it's so expensive, you know. There are no computer effects. The armies were real people.
Yeah.
And then at the heart of this megalomaniacal journey that Lawrence makes, you have in that role Peter O'Toole, who is as beautiful a man as I have ever seen on screen.
That blonde god in
his
the desert.
Face, you know, his blue eyes against his skin tone is like that burning sun against the sunset.
Excellent.
He is,
yes, yes.
It is something to behold, man. 76 is a shame. They should be kicking themselves.
Goodfellas, number 68.
Yeah, I'd push that one up a bit, too.
Yeah, Martin Scorsese is certainly, maybe, I don't know if he's your favorite director, but he's close to that.
Yeah, I would say so. Listen, cut that out with me saying listen all the time. I keep saying, I do. Okay.
Yeah, I do. No problem.
Using that as a crutch.
No.
I'm going to cut that bad habit.
That's all right. I got that.
Goodfellas, it's hard to estimate how influential that movie was. Everybody points to the mid-90s, like 94, and to Pulp Fiction. And certainly, Pulp Fiction was indeed stylistically influential. You have imitations ad nauseum after Pulp Fiction. But a lot of people, a lot of filmmakers stole from Goodfellas for the better part of the next decade.
And actors who lived off of that, like Ray Liotta,
mm-hmm.
who has played a gangster ever since.
But who never fulfilled his promise
in that movie.
That movie gets inside of the gangster's head in a way that they never did before, you know?
And who would have thought? Joe Pesci.
Right.
What a great role.
Look, if The Godfather is the Lawrence of Arabia of gangster movies, Goodfellas is the sort of interior version of that. It's the getting inside the mind of a gangster. It's great.
Perhaps when I was certainly much younger, I was heavily influenced by Last Tango in Paris.
Mm.
Because at that time, it was a banned movie in some, certainly for a Catholic boy.
Okay, yeah, well, that explains everything.
And then Brando's performance was, I think, one of his finest. And the film just stays with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, get lost in it. I don't know the way he got lost in her.
Yeah.
It's a terrific small film.
Where's that end up on this list?
That's number 65.
That might be right.
It feels right, doesn't it?
Yeah. That one. Last Tango is certainly worth getting lost in for Brando alone.
Yeah.
I mean, the structure of the movie is not very memorable, but he certainly is.
Yeah. I think we mentioned last time in No Need to, number 61, one of my favorite films, The Silence of the Lambs.
Mm-hmm.
And that performance is really one of the greatest ever. So we can go past that in 61 and say, okay, 61. But 57 is one people don't often talk about, but I really like.
What?
Midnight Cowboy.
Oh, man.
I know.
Wow. That was you can't make that movie anymore.
I know.
You couldn't make it. That fascinates me when you stumble upon a movie with such talent, directorial and thespian, that you realize now we couldn't see those caliber actors and that caliber of a director working in a commercial vein like that, and have a movie that risky and that kind of willing to go down dark holes.
Well, if you were having a festival of buddy movies, this might be the one you'd end up on.
Maybe.
Say.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful movie. It's a funny movie.
Yeah.
It really is funny, and that's a lot of people don't remember that, but it is a dark comedy in a lot of ways. And let's not forget, the only movie rated X to ever win the Oscar.
Woo, thank you. One that affected me, still affects me, and I wonder if Vincent would be affected by this. Number 55, Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
The 1931 version.
Yes, I took Vincent to see that Ohio Theater a couple of years ago. And he loved it. In fact, he felt the same way about the creature as he did about Godzilla. You know, he hated that they both died at the end of their respective films.
Oh, that's so sweet.
But it's true because, you know, Frankenstein is, despite the differences between the filmic Frankenstein as portrayed by Karloff and Shelley's Frankenstein, who's verbose.
Yes.
And, you know, has a way with words, this silent Frankenstein is equally touching. He's equally...
Oh, it's great. You're right.
You know,
yeah, it's
a lot of pathos there.
Oh, yes. You actually like this monster. Mm-hmm. You didn't think it could happen.
Right.
Now we both like just hitting 50.
Okay.
Somewhere in the middle. Final one for us now. This is our cutoff. But I'm going to 49 because I think it represents the best. The best.
It's so typical of you to lay out these parameters and then, you know, flout them.
Number 49 is Goldfinger.
Oh, wow. Yeah, great.
Now, doesn't that combine a whole bunch of good time movie making with unforgettable characterization in the part of Sean Connery?
Right. Yeah.
And bad guy.
You know, my kid, my second kid, his middle name is Connery.